All right, how you doing, everyone? This is the Two Guys from Queens podcast. I'm Tommy.
I'm Dwight.
And, you know, today I think we're going to talk about something that's, you know, a little interesting. It's, you know, for me, you know, my life was out of control at one point. I mean, there was just...
Do tell, Tommy. Do tell.
There was just way too much stuff happening, way too much, you know... How should we say it? That I was using a lot of drugs.
Snow in
yeah,
August.
Yeah, there was a lot of snow in August. There was a lot of craziness going on. There was a lot of bad decision making, and you know, and all this led to a string of events that you know caused me to be incarcerated, and it caused me to really like really look at where I was in my life, and. The thing that, you know, like, I always had this tough guy mentality. Like, you know, I'm okay. Everything's all right. I'm going to get through this. You know, nobody needs to help me. But until my life truly changed, you know, I had to stop and really look at myself and say, can I do this by myself or do I need help? And for the first time in a long time, I asked for help.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, that was a big, big, big turning point in my life. And, you know, if I didn't stop it and take that moment to ask for help, I don't even know if I'd be sitting here right now, you know, because if it was not for the drugs, and listen, the drugs were part of it, but it was the lifestyle I was leading. And who knows if I would even be sitting here right now. Yeah. And I'm grateful today that I actually stopped and I asked for help and you know, and changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you have, you know, maybe my story is a little bit different than yours, you know, how I asked for help, but, you know, like.
It all ends the same.
It all ends the same. Yeah.
Well, for me, you know, I came into recovery. I knew all my life that I had a problem.
But right.
I like asking for help. I grew up in a house where you didn't ask for help because it was seen as a weakness.
Like right, 100%.
And I'm one of seven kids, and you didn't want to be the one that was being picked on.
Right.
You know? And I just learned that from a very young age. You know, I came into recovery. It's 1983. I went to my first, you know, it was an alcoholic kind of thing. And but you know they had all these suggestions, and I didn't want to listen to the people who'd been doing this for most of their life. And the funny thing about it was, I was absolutely convinced at 20 years old that I knew exactly what it would take to get off of drugs and stop drinking and all that good stuff. Alcohol, by the way, is a drug.
Right.
But you know, and I didn't want to listen. And it wasn't until I was absolutely beaten. And really forced to ask for help.
Right.
And I mean, we say this in this because this goes for asking for help in anything, right?
Right.
We talk about this because we have a background. Tommy and I have
certain
a background
things,
in drug addiction.
Right.
Like, you know, we're both recovering addicts, and at least we call ourselves. I'm not speaking out of turn for Tommy.
No, I'm fine with that.
But, you know, this idea, and I remember coming in, and I was 49 years old. And I finally said, because before that, it was all like, oh, that may be good for you,
right.
But I know me.
Right, exactly.
I know me, you know. I didn't know me. I knew me. I liked drugs. And that's really the only thing. And it wasn't until I looked and I said, you know what? There are people in this room that are smarter than me and that have been doing this for decades.
Right.
And it's time that I listen to them. If I don't, I'm going to die.
Right.
And I know, so like, this is an extreme case of asking for help. But this works in all facets of my life now. Like, I learned from the experience of coming in, you know, because we talked in the last podcast about writing a book, right?
Right.
I wrote a book. Now, I tried to write a book on my own throughout my life. Like, I've written all my life. I wrote my first story in third grade. I love to write. I've written short stories. But I never asked for help. I never said, how do you write?
Right.
Like, how do you do this? I know how
I got this. I can do this.
Right. So the idea of asking for help, and for me, what that looked like was taking classes.
Right.
Go talking, you know, taking classes in colleges, taking independent
writing
courses.
Talk to other writers.
Courses.
Find out what they're doing.
I joined writers groups.
Right.
Like, and not only that, but I solicited their advice on what I may or may not be doing. And I can't say it was all great advice.
Right.
Some people are very jealous.
There's everything in life. Right. You're always going to get, you know, you're not going to get the answer that you need. You know, you take what you get from them, right?
Right.
And that's why you're with a group of people. That's why you say you're in a writer's group.
Right.
Because not every person is going to have the right, or even being the right philosophy that you have, right? You know, Dwight said something really, really key, and it's something that, and I think I said it too a little bit, you know, is asking for help weakness, right? Like, if you're struggling with something, like for me, I thought that was weakness.
Yeah.
I need help.
Yeah.
Could you help me?
Yeah.
That shows that I can't do something. But it's okay to ask for help. You know, it's okay to ask somebody who knows more about something or potentially has information to give you that can help you get better with yourself.
And here's a funny thing. I read a great book, Hillbillyology, it was called. And in it, this guy...
What was it? Wait,
Hillbillyology, yeah.
Okay.
It's a great story. It's about a kid growing up. His family was from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They moved to Ohio. They were poor white trash is basically who he was. But he grew up, he was a bright kid, and his grandmother took care of him. Like, his mother was a drug addict. Mm-hmm. You know, she was a crackhead. And, you know, he came from a fractured family. But he joined the Marine Corps, and after the Marine Corps, he went to Yale University. And he talked in the book about the difference between wealthy people and poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, wealthy people network, right?
100%.
And he said, like, really network. Like, they have no problem asking for help,
right?
And asking for favors,
right?
You know, and they don't see it as weakness. Now, where we grew up, like where I grew up, you're not going to ask for this help.
Right.
It was weakness, but you see, people who are successful know that they don't know everything.
Right.
You know, and I grew up in a place where, like, it's one of the things I learned as a kid, right? In New York City, you never ask for directions because it shows you don't know where you are. And
right.
If you don't know where you are, you're in the wrong neighborhood, right?
Right.
So you never ask for directions and never have that look on your face like you don't know where you are.
Right.
Wherever you are, you have to exude confidence. Mm-hmm. You have to exude this air of I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. Even if you don't. Lost beyond belief.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You don't cop to that, you know, because somebody's going to be willing to help you. Well, yeah, you got to go this way. And so it's true.
Right.
And the more successful you want to be, probably the more help you're going to need along the way. And it's okay because it's what they call the reason they call it networking, right? Isn't because you're just taking. And that's another thing I think that people like ourselves, really, people who grew up without a lot, you know, are used to people taking. They're takers.
Right.
And you have to protect what you have because
there's
always people around you who are willing to take it. See, but when you truly network, what you're doing is this: you're asking this person for help, and
one hand washes the other.
Offering
right,
help.
You're doing the same thing back.
Exactly,
right?
It's like we're going to do this. I learned that in the service
too.
You know, where for the first time I met great guys from Detroit. For whatever reason, there were guys from Patterson, mm-hmm. guys from Detroit. We pretty much made up the whole unit, and I learned, like, okay, you know, I was good at shining shoes, so I shined shoes. Another guy made racks. Another guy knew how to iron. Like,
right.
And we all
But
we
now you're now
duties.
You're a part of the same team, right? You're
right,
working
exactly.
together and doing something, getting to a common goal.
To a common goal,
right.
And it's asking for that help, though. You know,
and like that's the same thing, like, when we talk about recovery. It's like asking other recovering addicts, like, getting their – we're not asking them to give us their opinions. We're getting their experience, how they got to that – to that level,
right.
or what they did to get there, right? And then they showed you what they did and how they worked together with other people to get to that level. And that's, you know, that's what you have to do, man. It's real easy to stay by yourself and be by yourself and, you know, make excuses why you're not going anyplace or why this is happening.
That's it. And they're just excuses.
Like when I was committing crime, you know, it was everybody else's fault. It wasn't my fault. You know, I never took responsibility. I never looked in the mirror and said, I shouldn't have done that today, or I shouldn't have robbed that person.
Is that
today.
Wrong? Should I not
right.
have done
Should
that?
Should I not have done that? You know, even though I did it in a nice way, you know, I didn't pull a gun or a knife.
Yeah.
Like, I did it with my mouth. Like, is it, you know, like, you know, I know how to talk. I know how to sell, you know, so it's okay, you know, to do certain things. But it's not, right? It's not. Mm. And until I had to, like, really, truly ask for help and open up that door where I become vulnerable. Right.
Yeah.
Now I'm becoming vulnerable where I never was vulnerable before.
Yeah.
And you know, open up my eyes to a lot of things.
Well, and it's, you know, that's part of becoming human too. You know, you become a human being.
Right.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll be back in a minute.
No more fees. No more fees.
Bash those high ticket service fees. At TicketBash.com, not only will you get the best seats to top sporting events, concerts, and the hottest Broadway plays, you'll always receive the guaranteed lowest prices, amazing service with a personally assigned account rep, and the security of using a company that is licensed, bonded, and insured.
Get your tickets in a flash at TicketBash. TicketBash, gonna make you smile when you save some cash at TicketBash. TicketBash, TicketBash.com.
Okay, we're back.
All right.
Tommy looks like a deer caught in the headlights.
Yeah.
We're talking about getting help and right. where you get help from. You know, as I, you know, another book that I liked a lot was a book by Maxwell Maltz. Mm-hmm. And it's an older book, you know, and it was one of those self-help kind of things, you know, written, I think he wrote it in the 60s, actually. Anyway, the whole gist of the book, and I can sum up 450 pages for you, is find somebody who's successful at what you want to do and copy what they did. And what that requires is asking for help.
Right.
You know, because if somebody did what you're trying to do and was successful at it, if you do what they did, you should be successful too.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't matter what endeavors that is. Some people like flipping houses, you know, some people make money flipping houses.
Right.
How do you do that? Well, I don't know personally. It's not right. something I do. But if I were to do it, I would probably find people who have done it before and copy what they did.
Right.
You know, you can also find out what your limitations are.
Right.
You know, if you see what people did and you go, that might not be for me, you know. But again, that requires you reaching out and saying, you know, I need help with this. I need to learn about this. And education is a form of asking right. for help as well.
And we're talking about like asking for help. But once you ask for that help, what do you do when you get that help, right? Like, you know, for recovering addicts is get a sponsor.
Yeah.
Right? But that also, like you talked about, like writing books, and you also said about flipping houses. Like, I'm not just going to go out there and flip a house, right? Like, I don't know how to do it. But if you know somebody that does it, right, mm-hmm. ask them questions.
Right.
Get a mentor, right? And so you'll find out how that person became successful. Yeah. Just like in recovery, you ask a sponsor certain questions to get you to the next level, right, to help you stay clean. It's the same thing in life. It's all right to ask right. questions and get around people that are willing to answer those questions.
Right.
Because some people don't want to answer questions. But if they see you're honest and you're looking not steal from them or take from them, but actually want something and have a desire, people help you.
Because here's one of the things in life that I've learned anyway. When you meet people that are successful at doing something, they love to talk about it.
Of course.
They love that you're interested in it.
Right.
You know, I hear you've been very successful at this. How did you do it?
Right.
So many people are willing to right. sit there.
100%.
You know, I learned that with writing. Like, you talk to people who've written books and who've, you know, published them and everything, and you say, well, let me tell you about my book.
Right.
And you know, and they're going to sit and they're going to talk
of
and
course.
They're going to tell you about the business because it is a business. And that's something, again, and these are hidden aspects that I didn't know about in doing this as well.
Right.
By talking to people, I learned that there's a lot more to this than I am
right.
capable of doing.
Right.
I don't know anything about marketing. I don't know anything right. about, you know, all of these things that are required that, being a publicist. I hate all these. All I want to do is sit back and write, but there's more to it than that. So I had to ask for I've had to ask for a lot of help along the way. As to Tommy and I doing this, you know,
right.
I do certain aspects of this, and Tommy does certain aspects of this, and it works.
Right,
we work together, and it really wasn't until we got together on doing the podcast
right.
and started to talk about it and
right.
ask each other for help. Like,
right.
well, you know what? Maybe.
Yeah, I had to ask the wife for something. He was so happy.
Yeah, yeah. But and it's true though, and maybe we can do this together.
Right.
And it led
right.
to that. You don't know the partnerships by just asking for the help.
Right.
And again, it was so hard to do. Like, I remember coming into recovery, and a part of me was ashamed. You know, I had a lot of shame coming
right.
into recovery. Like, I couldn't believe I'd let my life get to that point. I mean, you gotta understand, you know, look, it's been several years now,
right.
but when I came into recovery, you wouldn't have recognized me.
I
looked and smelled right. homeless. I had a good job. I didn't lose. The union was able to help me keep my job, but I looked and smelled
mm-hmm.
homeless. Like,
no,
and I remember I got a hug at a particular meeting, you know, and the guy came up and I didn't know him, and
right.
he's welcome, you know, and it was at that moment that I realized how much I stunk.
Right.
You know, like, I became aware of that, and I was so ashamed. And at that point, I didn't want to ask for help because I just felt so bad about myself and where I had gotten to in my life, you know. And it was a very shameful
right.
period for me, and I didn't want to share that. So there was a certain amount of humility that comes from admitting that you need help,
right,
regardless of what
but,
it is.
But at that point, you could have made a decision not to ask for help,
of course,
And you don't know where your life trajectory would have been from.
Oh,
there.
I have a good idea.
Well, I do too. I do too.
I say that even professionally.
But you never know. You never know what happens if you don't ask. You take that moment, that one moment,
right?
That you you want to ask for help and you don't ask for help, and you don't know whatever can.
Well,
happen
that's that decision to live in your misery.
Right.
And we've
talked
about that
a million
too.
Times.
And the fear of not living like this. And again, you know, you become so entrenched in your own misery that it becomes familiar to you. It's almost like an old friend. You know, I used to talk about bathing in the pool of self pity every day.
Right. You know, I just want to, you know, dive off course a little bit to, you know, out of recovery, but, you know.
Dive away.
But, you know, and there's a difference between asking for help and somebody enabling you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to give you an example, I'm going to use my job as an instance, right? I've had plenty of employees that have come in over the years and asked me the same question over and over again. They always ask me, how do you know that? And you know how I knew that? I asked for help.
Yeah.
So in my like screen and my portal, there's a little life preserver that I could ask a question to somebody, right? And they show me how to do it, and then I learn from that,
right?
And then I instill it in the business, right? But yet, I have employees that have come over the years, and they ask me the same question over and over again, right? And I say, well, why are you asking me? Are you asking me to do it for you?
Right.
Or are you asking me to teach you?
Right.
And it seems like they always ask me to do it for them.
Right.
Right. And now what I tell them to do, I said, go look at the life preserver.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, there's a difference. I'm just trying to make a difference.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's really easy to have people do things for you, but it's really hard to do it for yourself. And that's about asking for help and really like doing it for the right reasons.
Again, family members are, she doesn't want to help me anymore. Well, that's because you don't really want her help. You want her to do it for you.
There's a difference.
Taking the person.
Right.
Yeah, and everything is somebody else's fault and all this. No, you have to do for yourself.
Right.
As we talk about all the action.
You have to take action.
Once I teach you to do something or once somebody tells you to do something, don't expect them to do it for you.
Right.
You should want to do it for yourself.
Right.
That's how you learn.
Right.
You know, and again, and not being afraid of failure. Asking for help is the same as not being afraid of failure and not being, you know, having a little bit of humility.
Right.
I don't know this.
Right.
How do you do this? And who does? Nobody's born with innate knowledge.
Like, right.
You know, other than survival, like, you know, to eat and to sleep and to shit. Because those are like three of my favorites.
Right.
Still
your favorite thing?
Consistent, yeah.
All right.
But
it's good to have consistency somewhere. And if that's your consistency, then go for it.
But it has. It's been pivotal.
Yeah, but
in
don't
my
be
life.
Afraid to ask for help for the right reasons. There's a difference. And people see that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I was like talking about asking a mentor or with any part of your life. If people see you true and genuine, they're going to help you.
Yeah.
You know, for the right reasons. Like, it's all about the right reasons, right? Anything's about the right reasons.
Well, yeah, it's funny because you'd be surprised how much people are willing. Like I said, I remember asking because we had, you know, in the recovery thing, we have these people called sponsors, and it's basically like a mentor.
Right.
This is a person who's going to show you what they did, how they stay clean, and all this good stuff. And it's one of the most nerve-wracking things to go up. It's just like almost asking somebody out on a date. You
right.
know? And you're like, would you consider, please? And most people are going to say, yeah, no problem.
Right.
You know, or even if they can't do it, they give you a reason.
So much anxiety that you have to how do I ask it? When should I ask it? It's almost like you're going out of
date. Asking for help, and it may be such a foreign concept to you. It was
that's
for me.
The problem.
Such a foreign concept to me that, you know, it was very, very daunting. But once I was able to do it, I've been able to do it in other aspects of my life.
Right, 100%. Yeah. So I think we covered a lot today.
Yes.
And the key takeaway that you guys have from this is just always ask for help. Don't be afraid. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you less than. It's okay to ask for help and get what you need, right? And that's the only way you're going to grow as a person, grow in life, and grow in any situation that you're in.
Yep.
All
agreed.
Right. Agreed?
Agreed.
We agreed on something?
Agreed.
Perfect.
Agreed.
That's a great way to end. All right.
Thank you.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Two Guys from Queens podcast. If you can, please like, subscribe, and follow. And until next week, we'll see you then.
Take care. Be well.